MZTV.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. Glass of good cheer here. Cheers to you out there. It's not Christmas yet, I know, but let's get a head start on it, folks. If you have a cigarette out there, light it up. Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Fender, and I'm your host. Into another scriptural extravaganza. Or if you want to say extravaganza, you can say that. That's fine. I'm going to look at the famous, the infamous, unforgivable sin. This may be a two-part show. I don't know. Let's see how far I can get. You've heard in your churches, of course, that there's a sin that just won't be forgiven. It's the most deadly sin you can commit. And if you commit this sin, then you're going to burn in hell for eternity. In spite of the fact that Jesus Christ came to the world to take away sin. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Well, that should tell you, 1 Timothy 4:10, that God is the Savior of all humanity, that should tell you that there's no such thing as the unforgivable sin. I'm going to look in detail at this. I'm going to look at all the passages where that phrase occurs, and I'm going to explain it to you so it's going to make perfect sense to you, because I make sense for a living, and I'm going to do it here. So let's look at the passages where this treacherous phrase occurs. And by the way, in no properly translated scripture does the phrase unforgivable sin appear. That's right. Let me say that again, because it's important. In no properly translated scripture does the phrase unforgivable sin even occur. But that's Christianity for you. They talk about the Trinity. Oh, the Trinity is such a crucial doctrine. You must believe the Trinity. Does the phrase the Trinity appear anywhere in Scripture? No. This is why I implore you, and I was implored when I was learning these things, that we must speak in scriptural terms. We must use phrases that are used in the Scriptures. But when people make up their own phrases, then you get way off the trail and you start believing wrong things. You start believing crazy things. So the question I ask you today is, did Jesus really say that there is a sin that will never, ever go away? Well, obviously he didn't, again, or he would deny his own mission. What's his own mission? Glad you asked. Well, his mission was, as described by an angel, a celestial messenger, is, quote, he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. That's his mission. Stated right at the beginning of the four Gospels. Matthew 1:21. He shall save his people from their sins. So if only one of his people retains but one of their sins, then he will have botched his mission, right? As plain as day. He came to save his people from their sins. His people, in this context, are Israelites. So if there's one Israelite that perishes forever because of a sin, then he's failed his mission. That's the most important thing you can remember at this time. So, what our Lord did say was that there was a sin that wouldn't be forgiven in this age or the next age. Now, there's a big difference there between a sin that will never, ever go away. So, it's simpler than it sounds. Hang tight. I'm going to explain everything. And if you don't understand it after I'm finished, it's my fault. I always blame the teacher. Right? If somebody after this talk says, I don't understand, I don't blame the person. I blame me. I blame myself. But I hold other people to the same standard. Like if someone's trying to explain something to me and I don't get it, I blame them. You didn't explain it right. I mean, I'm a fairly intelligent person, so you must have failed to explain it correctly. So I hold myself to the same standard. If you don't get this, I failed. So I'm going to strain for you to understand this. And if you don't, let me know. And I'll try again. So here we go. Luke 12:10. And everyone, this is Jesus speaking, so pay attention. Everyone who shall be declaring a word against the Son of Mankind, it shall be pardoned him. Yet, the one who blasphemes, that is, curses against the Holy Spirit, shall not be pardoned. Hang in there. I'm just reading the verses now. I'm not commenting yet. But I will. Oh, I will. Mark 3, verses 28 through 29. Verily, I am saying to you that all shall be pardoned, the sons of mankind, the penalties of the sins and the blasphemies, whatsoever they should be blaspheming, yet, whoever shall be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is having no pardon for the eon, There's a phrase you'll never see in the King James Version, or the NASB, or the NIV, or any of the common versions. No pardon for the aeon, but is liable to the aeonian penalty for sin. Matthew 12:32, the third and last passage where this phrase occurs. And whosoever may be saying a word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned him. Yet whoever may be saying aught against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him, neither in this aeon nor in that which is impending. Okay, we got the verses out of the way. But before I dig deep into this, I want you to keep the overview in mind. And the overview is that Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, and that God is the Savior of all humanity, and he sent Jesus Christ to do that. So you have to keep that big concept in mind. You can't miss the forest for the trees. People look at these passages and they isolate them. They cut them off from all other scripture. Well, look, there's a sin that won't be forgiven. And by that, they mean some people are going to go to hell. That's proof. Look, there's going to be sin that's not going to be forgiven. Some people are going to go to hell. And they're all happy about it. They're happy that some people are going to go to hell. They're isolating these passages from all other scriptures, including Matthew 1:21. So in the same letter, the letter of Matthew, it says that he shall save his people from their sins. And in the same letter, that was 1:21, in 12:32, there's this sin that shall not be pardoned. Will it never be pardoned? No, it just says it won't be pardoned in this aeon or this age or in the next aeon. Will it go away someday? Yes, it will. So it's clear that the persons committing the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit will not be released from whatever penalty God has fit for it. So here's the obvious question. It should be the obvious question. It's my job to bring out the obvious questions. What is the penalty for this sin? What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And what is the penalty for it? People assume that I'm going to explain what this sin is, okay? I haven't done it yet, but I will. People assume that the penalty is eternal separation from God in a flaming pit of torture where the skin crackles and people scream. They writhe in pain. Oh, yeah? Where is that in the context? Maybe I'm not reading closely enough between the lines. Where does it say that? Where does it say? Where do any of these texts, any of these three texts say that the penalty for this sin, and I'm going to tell you what the sin is in a second. Where's to say that people are going to be tormented for eternity who do it? No. But this is the unscriptural penalty that is read into these passages by people who assume already that eternal torment is true. I need more wine. Oh, I can't stand it. Are you drinking with me? I don't care if it's 8 a.m. Who said you can't drink wine at 8 in the morning? Who said? You don't read that in scripture. Okay. So, I'm not going to water down these passages. Okay? I'm not going to treat these passages lightly. I refuse to say less about these passages than what the Lord has said. I'm not going to deny his words. But I'm not going to add to these passages. And that's what people are doing. They're adding to them. So in Mark 3:28-29, it contains a clue, big clue. Okay, all you Sherlock Holmeses out there, all you detectives, listen to this. The penalty for this sin is aeonian, not eternal. That is, it's limited to time. There is a penalty, but it's limited to time. It's not eternal. We've all been through the word aeonian. I'm not going to get into detail about that now. It just has to do with a period of time. So eternal, anytime the word eternal appears in the scriptures, it's a mistranslation of the Greek word aeonian. We've been through this. So let's look further along here, noting the progression of detail in Matthew 12:32. Well, you know what? First, I have to tell you what this sin is. Okay, this is the sin. Jesus said, this is important, the context. Jesus is speaking to Israelites only. right? Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I think that's Matthew 15:24. So this saying of Jesus was not directed to you. It was not directed to me. We can't even commit this unforgivable sin, this blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We couldn't commit it if we tried, because it has to do with what was happening back then when Jesus was on the earth. So this is what Jesus was saying. If anyone hates me while I'm walking around here on earth, if anyone blasphemes me and says, you're a liar, you're a faker, you're not the Son of God, blah, 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 even if they kill me and put me on the cross, I will forgive them. That's pretty good. And he did. When he was on the cross, what did he say? What did he say? He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So that was a backup, a corroboration of what we're reading here. Anyone who blasphemes the Son of Mankind will be forgiven. But if you curse, blaspheme, same thing, the Holy Spirit, well, that's bad. So, relatively speaking, Israel had a second chance to make right. Okay, they killed the Son of God. That was bad. It's a bad day, bad decision. I would recommend never kill the Son of God. That's my recommendation to you. But see, you couldn't do that. You can't do that now. How can you possibly blaspheme Jesus Christ, the Son of Mankind? He's not on earth anymore. He's not going to the cross anymore. He's resurrected from the dead. So Jesus forgave them for that sin. But he said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for that sin, either in this age, in this eon, or the eon to follow. As you recall, ladies and gentlemen, 50 days after Jesus Christ raised from the dead, it was the Feast of Pentecost. Do you remember what happened that day? The disciples were in the upper room after his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came on them. Remember, it appeared like tongues of fire over their heads. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. If I saw a flame of fire over my head, I would grab a fire extinguisher. I would call 911. Oh, I lost my cigarette here. So they didn't do that back in the day. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the manifestation of the Spirit on them. And you remember what they did? They ran out of the upper room, and Peter gave a magnificent speech, and everybody heard it in their own language. There were many different nationalities in Jerusalem at that time. It was a Jewish feast. So Peter was testifying concerning Jesus Christ, about what he did when he was here. You crucified this one, but this is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to bring you into the kingdom. So we are testifying now that this one that you crucified, you can get out of it. You just have to repent, change your mind, be baptized, and then the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came on us, will come on you. This was Israel's second chance. I got a flamethrower for a simple cigarette. Overkill. This was our second chance. And if they rejected the testimony of Jesus' apostles that came by the Holy Spirit, then they were done. This was their second chance. They were on probation. After they condemned him to death, second chance. But if they rejected the Holy Spirit as manifested through Peter on the day of Pentecost, then there was no forgiveness for that sin. In other words, anybody who rejected Peter that day and the 12, they were not going to see the kingdom. They were going to die, go to sleep, and not show up until the great white throne. No 1,000-year kingdom for you. It's it. You're done. Gave you a second chance. If you commit that sin, you're finished. By this, you can see that the whole context of this is in the first century. Christians today are worried. I'm going to commit the unforgivable sin. Oh my gosh. And they make up things like what it is, like maybe smoking a cigarette. Martin Zender's committing the unforgivable sin. Maybe drinking alcohol. Ooh, Martin Zender's committing the unforgivable sin. They make up stuff. Whatever they don't like is the unforgivable sin, right? Whatever they don't like, they make that the unforgivable sin, and they use that to condemn other people. Well, you're doomed. You committed the unforgivable sin. What is the unforgivable sin? How can I commit the unforgivable sin? This isn't the first century. I didn't crucify Christ. I don't have a second chance to accept Christ and accept Peter. It's just so much taken out of context. People's imaginations go wild on this because they really want other people to be condemned. Except them, of course. Except them. So, again, the main goal of an Israelite, you need to keep this in mind too. This is definitely going to have to be like a three-part series. I'm running out of time already. The main goal of an Israelite was the 1,000-year kingdom on earth. They all wanted to be in on that. Right? When Jesus returns after the tribulation and he sets up a kingdom on earth headquartered in Jerusalem and the earth is restored and the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, the worst thing you could tell an Israelite, the worst thing was that you're going to miss that kingdom. You're going to be out. You're not going to be in. You're going to be rejected. And anybody who rejected the testimony of Peter and the 12 50 days after Jesus Christ's resurrection, anybody who rejected that was going to be out of the 1,000-year kingdom. This has nothing to do with me or with you. It has nothing to do with eternity. It has to do with the 1,000-year kingdom. 1,000 years, eternity. 1,000 years, eternity. This is not eternity. Is 1,000 years eternity? Not by a long shot. So, I'm not saying that committing the sin is good. For an Israelite back then, if they rejected that second testimony, they would lose out on the 1,000-year kingdom. They would be done. This is what I wish. I'll end with this, I think. I wish that somebody had raised their hand at that point when Jesus is talking about blaspheming the Holy Spirit is a sin that will not be forgiven in this eon or the next eon. What's the next eon? The 1,000 years. The kingdom on earth. It won't be forgiven then either. I wish somebody would raise their hand and say, excuse me, I hate to interrupt you. What happens to the people after that? That's a beautiful question. Okay, so they miss out on the 1,000-year kingdom. But what happens then? Oh! That would have been a beautiful question, because the answer was, well, after that, well, I'm going to keep you in suspense a little bit. I'm sorry. There's a beautiful answer about what happens to these people after that. Beautiful answer. You're going to love it, because God's plan is perfect, and it eventually includes everyone, even these naughty Israelites who rejected Jesus and the testimony of the Holy Spirit 50 days later. They're not done forever. They're not dead forever. They do miss out on the kingdom. Like I said, I'm not going to make less of this than it is, but I'm not going to make more of it either. There's a great future in store for them. So stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot. And if you don't, it's my fault.